This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. So this is the second time I've started this podcast. And you know what? I'm going to get something a little bit to eat. On the way home, because this is a big night, and this night has already shifted a couple of times, so figured out what we're doing here. So the original plan for tonight was that I would pick up Aiden at 5:15, 5:30. I'm backing up, and someone is looking to take my parking place. 5:15, 5:30, that would give me just enough time to run by the Walmart, pick up some supplies for Aiden's little nook that I'm making downstairs for him, because he is going to be with us for Christmas. And I thought, I'm eating a beef stick, by the way. Sorry, but I need a little nutrition before I get home tonight. So I'm not going to make a habit of this, but I need to munch a little bit so that I'm good when I go home, because there are things to do. So the original plan was to pick up Aiden about 5:15. Before that, I was going to pick up a rug, pick up some sheets, fix his area up so that I could tonight, while we have small groups in the house, take him downstairs to his new little nook where he has TV to watch and blankets and pillows and rug on the floor and et cetera, et cetera, because our basement flooded a couple of years back, so we don't have a rug down. But it wasn't bad. We got it all cleaned up, and we just haven't finished the basement since then. We need to replace the flooring. And then he could just stay with me downstairs while we have small group and have Christmas celebration and all that kind of good stuff. We'll be good. All is well. Then I got a call at 4:00 that he was running a fever. Actually 3:45, that he was running a fever, and could I go pick him up at school? So that knocked out the shopping trip. But then Dustin called back to say that his partner had to go home early anyways. So he would go pick up Aiden, but then he was gonna need to watch Aiden tomorrow, because Dustin has his big physiology test tomorrow. And he has to pass that course in order to start his paramedic stuff. So if you would, pray for Dustin tomorrow, starting around 8:30-ish or so. Sometime in there. Maybe a little later than that, but it's sometime in there. And he just has 50 or 100 questions to get through. And he's been doing real well in the class, so just pray for him that he remembers everything that he's supposed to remember, and he passes the test, and ta-da, we get that class out of the way. He has been accepted to paramedic school. I think I've already mentioned that. He did his orientation this last week, week before last. Last week. I can't remember. It's all running together. It was last week. So he's on the way with that. So this is the final piece he needs before he can actually start. But Lynette is going to watch him tomorrow. And maybe he'll fall back asleep and everything will be great. And we'll just see how he's feeling tomorrow. With kids, you never know. It might be something, it might not be something. He might have gotten overheated when they took his temperature. His temperature was like 102, which is usually the sign of something significant going on. So we'll see how he feels tomorrow. Hopefully, Lynette won't catch whatever he's got. That'll be exciting. Anyways, so, now I did finish my shopping for knick-knack stuff, and we're doing a sock exchange tonight, so I got some socks, and, you know, yada yada. So we're good there. Anyways, so we're back on track. I won't actually have Aiden tonight, so. I don't want the little kiddo to be sick. And I am happy to watch him. He's a good little kid. You know, he just has a few little emotional challenges, but he's a good little kid. We had a lovely time this morning. You know, he just laid on the couch, never did fall asleep, but once it was time to get up, we watched the little story bots, and I took him to school, and he went in, and everything was fine. And so, it's all good. So that's good. Work is good. It's really interesting. At this point. because we have multiple external integration projects that we're working on. And we're supposed to be working on one, but another one is heating up, and we're going to have to get a little clarification as to which one is supposed to take priority, because the one that's heating up is making more and more demands on meetings. And it's like, okay. And the one that's heating up is growing. So, it started out, just get us 7 years of data that we can import and we'll be good. Oh, okay. Because most of the people that go with this do a hard cutover. Well, we're not doing a hard cutover. We're just synchronizing to them. So it's not just get us 7 years worth of data. It's somebody has to do the ongoing stuff. I think I talked about this last week. Nothing has been resolved. We're still trying to figure out what we're doing. And all the meetings we have with this, there's gobs of people at these meetings. I mean, these meetings have, you know, 7, 8, 9 people in them. And there's a lot of people that are providing guidance, but the number of people who are actually doing the work is not many. And I keep asking questions. And there doesn't seem to be any answers. And the farther we get into it, the more work we seem to be inheriting. So, you know, we'll just see how this goes. It's fine. It's gonna be fine. Writing is going fine. I have been stealing time. From the writing to get the other stuff done that I needed to get with. Last week it was the time traveler costume. But that went fine on Friday, so I did Pretend That You're a Time Traveler Day holiday on Friday. And people really seemed to enjoy it. Of course, there's lots of flashy things and, you know, lots of cool things to look at on the costume. Had some very nice comments on Facebook after I uploaded the video, and so that's good. So that's going fine. I am putting together my calendar for next year at this point, and there's going to be some fun stuff in there. This last year I had one of the workers at Walmart tell me that I really needed to do National Potato Day. It's the same week as Elvis Week, but as we were talking, I was like, well, I'm not really sure what I can. And then it occurred to me that I should do Mr. Potato Head. so I could do a Mr. Potato Head costume and probably 3D print all the pieces so they would be actually bigger pieces, but, you know, Mr. Potato Head pieces, and then have holes in the costume so people could, like, attach the pieces. So that'll be fun. So I decided, you know, we may take a run at this and see if we can get this done. It'll be a little interesting because even if I get a wide bed 3D printer, I'm not going to have anything that can physically print a Mr. Potato Head body that's as large as I would need it, even if I just did just the torso. I mean, the idea would be to do just the torso, and then I could print boots that look like Mr. Potato Head shoes, wear those, and then get some gloves that look like Mr. Potato hands and wear those, and then put like a white bodysuit on, and then put the Mr. Potato Head over the white bodysuit, and then let, you know, people just plug things in where they plug in. I get like eyes and, you know, lips and hat. And probably I would make the hat so that it wasn't removable. Or maybe I'd make the hat removable, but put eyes in the hat so I could see out. So that would be fun, you know. And that's in August. There's also a Tell a Fairy Tale Day. And I thought, oh, that sounds like fun. What could we do for that? And the current idea, perhaps, is to not do like an old fairy tale, but do a modern fairy tale, and maybe take the story of The Matrix and turn it into a fairy tale, and then act it out. And they have these things called exoskeleton chairs that you strap to your legs and then you can sit down like you're in a chair. They have supports that swing out as you're sitting down. And I'm thinking, especially if I modify it a little bit, put a little extra support in it, that I might be able to do a thing where I get a big long duster like Neo wears, and then when I sit down, the supports will come out, catch in the duster so that you can't see it, and then maybe I can lean back and do the classic bullets firing at Neo, and he bends over backwards, you know, and flails his arms, and, so we'll see, we'll have to make up the fairy tale, we'll have to decide what else to do, etc. But we'll figure it out. And I think if I do all the new costumes that potentially I have listed on the calendar as it stands now, there'll be another, you know, 4 new costumes next year. And so that's cool. I did go ahead and order some shelving units because I need more. So we're going to try to get the downstairs cleaned up, at least with respect to my costumes, over Christmas. But have a lot to do, so maybe not. I don't know. So writing is good. Work is good. Costumes are good. Everything's good. So this week, I came across an article. And it just fascinated me all over again how powerful the reproductive systems are and how that power manifests itself in such surprising ways. So, and honestly, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say about this. I know what the standard reactions are, and I know that I'm not having that same standard reaction. and I really don't have a comprehensive theory yet, but I thought, well, this will just let me just flail around with a few ideas. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if at the end of the day, after I flail around with these ideas, in a year, 2 years, I'll feel differently about anything that I'm going to say. But some of it I suspect I will still believe, because years and years ago, there was a couple, they had gotten married after divorces, and she had a 15-year-old son, and they had discovered their son was, like, looking at porn and doing the thing in his bedroom, and they had written me and said, what do you think about this? What would you advise? And that actually gave me a chance to kind of organize my thoughts about that. And so I wrote them back a fairly long answer that really just kind of looked at the realities of the situation. And honestly, as I recall what I wrote, the things that I said in that email, I still believe today. So, you know, it'll be interesting to take a stab at this and just see what we can come up with. Because after I get the Windfall series done, which is in July of 2026, but honestly, as of April of 2026, I'll be ready to start something else. And I am going to go back and write two more books on the Whispers set. And one of them is going to be on the parables. And I'm going to just pull across the information that I kind of exposed in Windfall, maybe add a few more parables. And then the other one is going to be called Machinations, and it's all just about our existence in this physical world. You know, our physical systems and our existence in this world, and how do we create an environment of success for us in this physical world. So I'm getting my mail. And this would certainly fit into that, because just to give you the punchline, oh, one moment, that's for Lynette, this is Cox Health. To give you the punchline, you may have already seen this article. Just a second, Dustin is going by. How's everybody doing? Hey, buddy! How are you, man? I have a rug for you for downstairs. We're going to make a little area that's just going to be our area where we can watch TV and we can play and nobody will bother us. I'm making an area down for us so that we can do that during Christmas and any other time that your daddy needs to bring you by. We're going to have our own special area. Yeah, I know. Special blankets, special pillows, they'll all be ours. So there you go. I'm glad you're not looking sick, so maybe there was just... a little...
what that is under his eye.
Yeah, a little something, something. Yeah. Maybe.
They said they took it in his ear, but...
Yeah, you check it when he gets home and see what happens. So... yeah, so you're going home. Well, if he's not running a fever and he's not running a fever tomorrow morning, do you think they'd take him at the school?
They said he can't come back for 24 hours.
Okay, 24 hours. Well, Ned said she could watch him.
But tomorrow's Friday, so I mean, I work Saturday.
Right.
If for some reason they send me home, I'll just take FMLA and go. Like, if some reason they send him home, I'll just come home.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
Because I first noticed it this morning when I got out of the car and walked into your house.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, we were out cold for a few seconds.
Right.
It went from hot to cold.
Right, right.
But.
Well, he was somewhat consistently coughing this morning.
Yeah, I've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah.
Back, but
yeah.
I don't know what causes a fever and a cough with no other symptoms.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
We're going to get some, I think, elderberry.
Sounds good. Yeah. I'm also experimenting with a new thing that supposedly saline nasal spray, you know, keeps things rinsed out and kind of improves that whole thing. Plus, they say that saline, this guy I was listening to, saline nasal spray with xylitol in it will actually change, you know, coat the nasal passages and make it harder for viruses to attach and bacteria to attach. And it won't, the xylitol won't feed the bacteria and stuff. They can't live off it.
And I have those little nebulizers I can put on. I have 10,000 flushes.
Yeah.
I can probably.
Yeah. If you let me. Hey, buddy. Well, just let us know.
So I can't get into my Canvas to figure out exactly. I thought it said 9, but it might be an 8. I just sent Tatum in Texas.
Okay. Okay.
But it's only like 100 questions.
All right. Well, just let us know when.
Okay. I'm trying. I don't know why it's not letting me. It's because it's a Outlook account.
Uh-huh.
And my work account is Outlook.
Yep.
So when I try to go into Canvas, it's trying to automatically.
Oh, yeah.
Which I block out everywhere else.
Right.
But it's some tech thing that I don't understand.
Right.
Anyway.
All right. See ya. Bye. Okay, I had completely forgotten that I was recording this podcast. Sorry. Maybe you could just fast forward over that part. Anyway, pay attention to what you're doing, Phil. So, anyways. So, Aiden didn't look very sick. So, we'll see. So, I'm going to have to go through this fairly quickly now. So I came across this article, and you might have heard about it, but it is fascinating. So there's this young lady. She is a moderately attractive young lady. She has a very symmetrical face. She has large breasts, very skinny waist, large hips. Who knows whether it's natural or she's like 20 years old. Her name is Sophie Rain. She grew up attending church every Sunday with her family in Tampa, Florida. She's on OnlyFans now. And over her time on OnlyFans, which has just been a few years, she revealed that she had made lifetime, which she's only been on OnlyFans for a couple of years because she's 20. She had made a lifetime income of $43 million. Now, this says life-changing yearly income of over $43 million. But I saw another place where she was only making $4 million a year on OnlyFans. And so that, or $4 million a month. So, well, no, $4 million a month. If she's, she's made $43 million this year, apparently. $43 million at like $100 or $200 a crack. That's a lot of people watching her naked. And, of course, what's interesting about the article is they say in the article, despite what some may be quick to judge, she isn't ashamed to say she turned the massive profit by posting revealing and sometimes explicit contents on her OnlyFans page. The online model recent made headlines on X. Thankful is the word she put to the matter, and she's not afraid to take on doubtful replies. Quote, you can call me whatever you want, she wrote in a response, debating whether or not people should consider her a model. I will be laughing all the way to the bank. She said, honestly, all the people online that hate me and they post the mean comments and everything, that's what motivates me to just keep going and to keep booming and keep doing my own thing. It just makes them mad for no reason. They don't know me. Not to mention for all the loud haters who tried to tear Rain down, she's got plenty of people rooting her on. And they show it with generous tips. Woo! She's got one man named Charles that between November of 2023 and November of 2024 sent Rain nearly $5 million. One guy. She doesn't know the man personally, but Rain says their relationship isn't that strange. We talk a lot. So I do know a lot that happens with him, but I know him from OnlyFans. She doesn't know his age. She tries not to guess. Try not to guess for my sake. I know he's just a little older. I don't want to know exactly how old my fans are because I know a lot of them range from older. It's like talking to my grandfather sometimes when I find out how old they are. And I strip naked in front of them. So anyways... She said, I love all the people around. I'm around a great group of people. And she is like starting her own thing now. I think it's called Bop House or something like this, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, I was serving food at a regular minimum wage job and my sister was making so much money. And I was like, I wanted to get in on this. And she helped me start. And then it just took off. She said she just told her parents straight up, I post online content. This is what I do. If you support me or you don't, I'm sorry, but I can't help you guys. But regardless of the situation, they didn't care. I'm their child and they love me. And so she said her parents are also devout Christian and Rain attend church with them every Sunday. However, the latter quality hasn't faded from the influencer's life. Her Christianity remains a substantial part of her identity. She said she still checks in our home church in Tampa when they stream online services. Looking back on her life now, Rain doesn't see any conflict between her work creating adult entertainment and her religious devotion. Quote, the Lord's very forgiving, and he put me here. He put me on earth for a reason that I'm just living every day. If it wasn't for me, if that wasn't meant for me, I wouldn't be living. I wouldn't be here right now. So, you know, while her OnlyFans profit undeniably indicates Rain's rise to wealth, she says she hasn't fully shaken the frugal mindset, still find myself trying to save every dollar. She did get herself a dream car. She said, I'm glad I'm making this much because all I wanted to do was help my family. I watched them growing up very poor, struggling to pay bills, living paycheck to paycheck. This is what motivates me as well. My parents struggling, the OnlyFans star told people. I just wanted to change that. Okay, so there you go. So there you go. I know a lot of people that try to find out a lot of reasons why she is absolutely going to regret this, why it's just going to destroy her life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not convinced. I've heard arguments that these poor girls are never going to be able to find anyone to marry them. I'm just not convinced. Now, that they're going to have a much worse time finding a good man because no good men will want them. And as hard as it is to find a good man, this is just going to destroy her chances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she's, you know, sinning and she's an abomination because she's causing men to sin and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just not convinced. I'm not convinced. Because I think the commandment is do not commit adultery. That's the commandment. I don't see that she's committing adultery. Now you can say, well, that's the Old Testament. And Jesus said, you know, don't lust. If a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, then it's the same as committing adultery. And, you know, the man bears. Okay, but he's talking about the man there. And I'm very uncomfortable with this whole idea that men tell women, well, because you dressed that way, I fell from grace. No, no, no. Okay, your sins are your responsibilities. I just don't believe, even if a woman is writhing around in front of you naked, that A, you have to look, or that B, you have to turn her into a sex object, or that C, you have to commit lust in your heart with her. Men are responsible for what happens in their bodies, period. Okay, I'm just not a fan of trying to tie the blame onto somebody else. I was at a very large church here in Springfield, Missouri, and it was at a time when we were visiting other churches. And we go in, and the pastor is going to preach on, you know, 1 Corinthians, I forget what chapter it is, where it's, you know, women should dress modestly. And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting, because he was right in that passage. And he went through this whole thing telling women how they should dress modestly. And, you know, because, you know, they, some man could be trying to worship and then they could walk by with a short skirt or a tight, you know, leggings or something like that. And then he would be distracted from, and would, is that really what they want to do? Do they really want to distract men from being able to worship? And I was just sitting there thinking, hogwash. Fine if women, you know, want to have that as an understanding and want to dress modestly. I'm not against that. But he didn't mention anything to the men about, men, you need to take more care where you look, how long you allow your eyes to linger. And you really, when you see something beautiful, instead of immediately characterizing it as a tool that you can use to reduce your sex count, your sperm count, what you should say is, oh my God, I thank you that you have placed such beauty in the world. And you should start praying for this young woman. Bless her today and whatever she does. If she's a mom, bless her in the way she relates to her children and the way she relates to her husband. Because if you do that, you'd be stunned how quickly a lot of that stuff would just disappear. So I really think it's the man's responsibility to keep himself from lust. It's not the woman's responsibility. I also think that the injunctions that we have against adultery apply to people who are married. We don't see anything in the Old Testament. I mean, we've got patriarchs that are going and sleeping with prostitutes. You know, you got men with multiple wives. You got all kinds of stuff going on in the Old Testament. I mean, David certainly was condemned for what he did with Bathsheba and Uzziah, but that's adultery. He's married and he was sleeping with other women, not to mention the fact he got Uzziah killed. Was it Uzziah? Anyways, whoever that husband was. So, you know, what condemnation is there for a young lady who takes off her clothes for money? I don't know, honestly. I don't think, oh, you're causing someone to lust is actually the right path. I really don't think that's the right path because it makes men helpless. And I don't think men are helpless. You know, God did provide clothing for Adam and Eve after they sinned. But does that necessarily mean that their nakedness was sinful, or did he do that because they were ashamed? And there's certainly plenty of injunctions about being modest, but sometimes I wonder if these injunctions about being modest are culturally based, much like eating pork is culturally based, much like women should be silent in the church is culturally based, much like I do not suffer a woman to teach is culturally based. And I wonder if the root of that is just because men won't take responsibility for themselves. And so they want to like push the responsibility on women. And part of that is, well, you need to dress more modestly. Well, do they? Do they? I know a lot of men that would love to preach against leggings, but they're just, it's just leggings. They're extremely comfortable. Well, but it outlines every curve and stuff. Okay, but that's your problem. Because there's a whole lot of women who are walking around in leggings that aren't necessarily thinking, look how sexy I am. I mean, it's just very comfortable. I speak from experience. It's just very comfortable. And yet we pile all this shame and guilt on it because we as men, or we as women who hate the fact that other women are doing things that may diminish our social status. We hate the fact that that's going on and causes us to be responsible for our own feelings. So, you know, I don't think we are benefited by condemning the actions of others or trying to figure out how the actions of others are going to bring them to ruin. I don't think we're benefited by that. It is just what it is. And, you know, I think the best thing to do is just bless and say, Lord, I just bless this young woman. I mean, it's amazing that she's made $43 million this year by taking off her clothes. It's just because she's very sweet looking and she has big bosoms and big hips, but she's not what I would consider just an absolute stunning knockout. I mean, she's not Cindy Crawford. She's not, you know, she's just a little girl. $43 million. It's astonishing. You know, there's a part of me almost that's willing to say, well, you know what? She had a resource. She found a way to make money off the resource. Okay. I'm not going to pay for it, but apparently somebody is. So, you know, the power of reproductive systems. It's amazing. So I don't have my thoughts all organized about this, but I know blaming or condemning other people for what you perceive as their faults is not worthwhile. I know that for sure. I know trying to blame other people for your own shortcomings is not beneficial. I know trying to blame other people because you're jealous or you're envious or you're afraid, that's not beneficial. So, you know, maybe there'll come a point in her life where she'll decide, okay, I'm done with this, because she does have a shelf life. I mean, let's be realistic about it. What is driving all of this money is at this point is that she is 20 years old and everything's perky. So there will be a shelf life there. But at $43 million a year, she's probably got several more good years in her. And by that point, it's, you know, who knows? I just prefer to bless people and to treat people with kindness and to not imagine that I have their lives all figured out. And to be gracious. We'll see. I gotta think on this some more before I actually write it in the book. But this topic has to be in Still Whispers Machinations. It will have to be in there. And I'll have to come to some kind of conclusion. But we'll just see what those are. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.